Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, everyone. Before we get started talking about All Stars 5, I want to take a second to make it clear that this podcast stands in solidarity with the grief and anger that's coming from the Black Lives Matter movement in response to so many unjustified killings of people at the hands of police officers across the country. And I know that there are a lot of important conversations happening right now. This podcast may touch on it a little bit, but we're also here to talk about platform heels and what insanity drama we saw. However, that being said, there, if you haven't checked it out yet, Bryce Isaiah spoke about all of what's happening in the world on this week's episode of the Purple Pants podcast. Rob talked about it on the main feed, and Rob is actually going to be matching donations. If you go to joincampaignzero.com, donate, take a screenshot and send it to Rob at robhaswebsite.com. I'll post all the information in the show notes. But just to be clear, there's no ambiguity. Black Lives Matter. And Mariah, in this episode, even a year ago, talked about it. And we are going to talk about it. And this is important.
100%. I couldn't believe the timing of Mariah Perez Balenciaga deciding to do her talent about something that really mattered. And not that you always have to do entertainment about stuff that quote unquote matters, but it was great to see. And then for it to coincide with one of the great uprisings and civil rights movements of our time, honey, like that was the real tea. That was exciting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And we are going to get into all of it here now. Welcome to the RuPaul's Drag Race Recap here on Reality TV Rehapups. I'm your host, Liana Boris, and we are here to talk about the premiere of RuPaul's Drag Race All Stars Season 5. The voice you just heard was our very own, it's Brent, bitch, Brent Wolgamott. Brent, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. I have had a wonderful week watching everything that has been happening. I know that a lot of people, I've talked to some friends of mine and they're like, you know, I get so down when I'm seeing stuff on social media. And I'm like, I get excited. Like, I get pumped. Like, I love seeing this sort of activism and fervor in the nation for things that actually matter and things that are actually just and right. And so I've had a good week. How are you doing?
Well, we are also with Amon Adwin, our very own podcast assassin. Amon, how are you?
Happy to be back talking about Drag Race yet again. We just got off into the season and now here we are for All Stars 5. And it's a very welcome distraction for all of the stuff that's going on right now. So I'm hanging in there and I think I'm pretty well right now.
Okay. Yeah, we are here to get into all of the drama. Finally found out the reason why India Farah and Derek Barry were cast on this season, if I do say so myself. But it was sort of a one little episode narrative for this feud between Derek Barry and India Farah. And we got to see the new rules for All Stars. This was a fun episode of TV, Amon. I really enjoyed it, actually.
Yeah, I was sort of expecting a little bit of malaise. Like, we did talk about at the end of the finale that this was sort of welcome because the end of season 12 sort of got screwed over by COVID. And I was excited for this season, but at the same time, it's like, you never really know if you're really prepared for another season of Drag Race. But this was very, this is a lot of fun. And I feel like the new twist of this season is actually, quite interesting, and it gives it a whole nother dynamic. And it also welcomes a bunch of other Drag Race girls back into the Pantheon. So I was really, kind of like on the edge of my seat this episode. I liked it.
Mm-hmm. Brent, how about you?
I thought it was a fantastic episode, and I really love seeing all these queens back. It's like comfort food. I mean, if you've been a fan of RuPaul's Drag Race throughout the years, you know all of these queens. I think the only queen that I didn't watch at the time that the show was airing was Angina. But of course, how can you not know who Angina is? I also was quizzical on why a few of the queens were cast, and it quickly became apparent to me, as it did Liana and Iman, why they were. That said, I feel like that may have been the reason why they were cast, but I feel like that what we may ultimately get out of both of them, especially India Farah, may go beyond what they were originally intended to be on the show for. So I'm excited about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree. I was really excited watching this. I'm looking forward to this season. I think it's gonna be fantastic. Just seeing Jujubee back also.
She's so talented.
Gave me life.
She's so amazing.
Oh my god.
Like, I don't know if she's gonna win the crown. There's some stiff competition, but god damn it, she needs a crown. She's so fucking good at what she does. And I'm just so happy she's back on my screen.
Mm-hmm. Totally agree. Well, we have the entrance. So the queens come in with their entrance looks. This was effectively like an expanded version of the cast release, I thought. So some of this we had seen before, but it was nice to see some of the confessionals like pad it all in. But are there any particular looks that you guys want to talk about? Because we're not going to have runway looks because we just have the main challenge and then we don't really have a runway. But this was the first time that we've seen a lot of these queens back in the workroom, and it's like a completely different workroom. Amon, was there anything
as
that stood
as, like,
out
the workroom
to you?
Entrances?
Yeah.
You know, not really. Like, I was, except for maybe Angina. Everybody else was sort of like, okay. I mean, I think Shea Coulee's was, you know, obviously very colorful and very vacation-y, and you know, it's always nice to see Shea back on our screens, but I feel like a lot of this stuff was rather pedestrian. Like, I watched the pit stop the other day, and Bob the Drag Queen and Trinity the Tuck were talking about Jujubee's look. And yes, Jujubee looks really glamorous. She looks stunning. But I also felt like it's a bit like, this is All Stars 5. Like, I want to be like, bam, when mm-hmm. you walk in. And I just felt like it was, while it was a very elegant look, I was just like, I don't know. Like, it's very monochromatic. You look beautiful, but where's the pop? Where's the zing? Where's the zest? But maybe, you know, maybe they just saved
yeah,
their better
I'm
look
with them
for,
on that.
For the competition.
Yeah, this is like your one opportunity. Like, you don't know how long you're going to be on the show, and you want to come out and absolutely give it to the fans. Also, you know the way that RuPaul's Drag Race promos its shows, they usually release like the first 10 minutes early, so all of the entrance looks go out, and they're out in the, you know, Twitter sphere for like a week ahead of time, and we know what they're going to be wearing. And I wasn't wowed by many of these at all, especially like Alexis Mateo, a bathing suit with a cape. Like, I mean, what was that? Blair St. Clair looks like she's going to the office, not to a drag competition. Jujubee did look like she was going to a funeral. India Farah was serving it, I'll tell you, all episode, and she was probably one of my top three favorite looks as far as the entrance goes. Mayhem Miller, you know, I mean, she looked good, don't get me wrong. Again, I'm with Amon, because like so many of these queens, they look good, but where is the pop? Where is the pizzazz? Where is the, you're gonna hit me with it? You know what I mean? And I didn't get that from anybody. I think the person, ironically, who did the best for the entrance look was the person who went home this episode, in Derek. Like, Derek came out with a tuxedo outfit on, and then did a reveal and then another reveal. Like, it was pretty spectacular. I really liked what Derek did, even though it was expected. I really had hoped that once Derek did this for the reveal for the workroom entrance, that he was going to do a non-Britney-esque look for the runway, and then I was wrong about that.
Yeah. Oh, my God. And it just brought back because this was in the cast release also. And Derek was like, I want to show people that I'm not just Britney.
Right?
And then does the Britney VMA look.
Yeah. <laughs> Like, okay.
But I agree, Amon, that Angina's was the look that really just like that was the one that was just so good.
And
then
I
guess I would probably
all the shingles.
Yeah. Clink, 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 clink.
That's so cool. It's like just screams expensive. I love that. I love it when outfits make noise. Okay. I think India Farrah also had that moment with the same color as Cracker outfit comment, which was like, you know, reminiscent of walking in a similar outfit in season
exact
three.
Exact same color now that I look at it. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think in an interview, India said something about that she loved her entrance look because like it was a color, unique color and no one was going to have it. Because Cracker was the exact same color. So there was a little bit of fun with that. But I agree. Overall, it was like, meh. I mean, it's cool. It's fine. Yeah. It's fine. It's fine.
Mehen Miller.
Mehen. Oh, man. Yeah. Well, we'll talk about that when we get to her maxi challenge performance. But we get RuPaul coming in first before we get into this and talks about how, you know, this is a new game with new rules and talks about that each week you're going to be voting for the queen that you think should go home. Of course, at this point, she doesn't reveal the fact that it's going to be a lip sync assassin. But I don't know if I was getting like Survivor mixed in here, Amon. It was just, oh, so strategy is just trying to think of how I could game the system if I were competing.
Yeah, this entirely new twist looks like it's not. That it's basically out of the Survivor handbook, which I entirely welcome. And I wonder like how some of these queens are really going to want to play this. And if we're going to see a bunch of RuPaul's best friend race type maneuvering around this, or if we're actually going to see like alliances get panned out. I don't know. I wonder.
Brent, what do you think about this twist? I thought I was going to hate it. I don't think I hate it. I kind of like it. I mean, we'll see, but
for TV purposes, I actually love it. I think it's really fun. I think it definitely presents an aspect of the show that's never been explored before, bringing in the lip sync assassin. However, I must say that when I put my tinfoil hat on, I get a little angry about it because I do feel like that if the queens with their ruocracy decide that they want to eliminate somebody. Let's say we get down to, you know, seven queens or five queens and they want to get rid of, you know, Shea Coulee, let's say. I do feel like there's a way for Rue to sort of like game the system herself by awarding it to the lip sync assassin. Now, the lip sync assassin could then eliminate Shea Coulee. I don't know. But I feel like it's just like my mind is working as far as like, does this give Rue more power or less power? It looks on the surface like it gives Rue less power because, oh, we're letting all the queens vote. Isn't that nice? It's a democracy. But in reality, I feel like that Rue's still going to do what Rue's going to do.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I assumed that even so when India was declared the winner, I was like, well, of course she's going to send home Derek. So then I knew that whoever the queens voted for was going to win. Because I was like, we can't do the predictable outcome. I mean, Derek might go home anyway. So there's definitely that aspect of it that I just keep thinking about. I think I need to just throw that aside and just try to freaking enjoy the show that I love instead of getting all like mind fucked with it. But
I was definitely, there was a moment in time where India Farrah, I know we're jumping ahead, but India Farrah picked up Derek's lipstick, but she never actually put it in her bra. Like she picked it up and then they cut. And I was like, like I'm pretty sure she eliminated Derek. But I don't know for certain that she eliminated Derek because she has to be aware of the fact that once Derek's gone, her storyline might be gone as well. I mean, does she worry about stuff like that? Does she think about stuff like that? I wonder.
Yeah, next level strategy. Yeah. Keep your rival around so that you have a storyline so the producers will want to keep you around.
Yeah,
longer.
Does she really trust Mayhem Miller? That Mayhem Miller, if she is in the spot where India was, will keep her? I mean, maybe, but I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll have to see how this progresses, because we did get the little hints of strategy with Mayhem and India seemingly making an alliance. But we can talk about that during the deliberation, because I first really want to talk about the reading challenge. Oh, my God. It felt so good to have a real reading challenge. Amanda, yeah. This
is what it should be. Like, we're back to form now. We have some all-stars that have been around the block, so they know what they're doing and they're not as nervous. And, you know, these queens have relationships with one another, and they've been on tour together and they've been on shows together and all sorts of stuff. So they have all sorts of ammo to go after one another with. So I just felt like it really just brought an entirely new caliber of reading to the show that we've been missing for the past season.
Yeah, I feel like familiarity breeds amazing reads, because, like, you know, yeah, when you know, you like, you know, we all know each other. We've hung out before, all three of us. And like, I feel like I could go in easier on YouTube than somebody who I randomly met before, because you don't have any history with them. You don't know anything about their lives. And you also don't want to hurt somebody's feelings, where if somebody's a friend of yours, you know, you can really go to that spot and they know that they're in on the joke. And, you know, there's no drama behind it.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. The ones that really, I think, cut the most were the ones that obviously are based in some type of reality that mm-hmm. we're all familiar with, too. Yeah. So I think it's not just that the queens are familiar with one another, but the audience also. So Mariah's read of Shay, why so emotional, mm-hmm. you know, and then has the rose petals. That's so perfect. Even though, OK, yeah, maybe it's expected, but it's fun that we're all of us mm-hmm. can be in on this joke. And like Jujubee, I mean, it was obvious when she went, I was like, oh my God, she better win this thing, because she was just saying what we're all thinking with RuPaul instead of All Stars, some stars to Derek.
God damn.
Which was so good.
Oh gosh. Yes. And then I think it was Blair St. Clair who looked at India Farah with a long pause. And then she was like, oh, I'm just giving you all time to Google.
Like, yeah.
She ain't lying.
Oh my gosh. And I think the other one, it was Blair's, your career only has movement because the earth has to spin on its axis. That one I really want to use to someone
that
somewhere.
Was like, that had
so
a little acid
good.
To it, man. That was there was a little drip there.
Yeah. Oh, and of course, Ricky freaking Martin was there.
Which, okay. Like, first of all, I'm a gay man, and I have had many a fantasy about Ricky Martin when he was like, because I'm old enough when Ricky Martin was like coming out, not coming out that way, but when he was coming up into the pop stratosphere, and everybody knew who Ricky Martin was. I was just like, oh my God, this guy is so hot. And then, you know, like 10 years later, he came out of the closet and you're like, wow, work, you know, and there are always whispers about it, but you never know what's real and what's not in Hollywood. So like, I'm with these queens. I was like, Ricky Martin, like, I don't care that he's not quite as fit as he used to be and maybe a few years older. He's still fucking stunning. And I was so happy to see him on my screen, even though I really couldn't understand what he was saying half the time.
I didn't know that Ricky Martin used to have long hair. Like, when I saw that picture, I was like, who the hell is that? I must have missed that entire era.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, I forgot that he was with Menudo, actually. That actually, I think I knew that somewhere in my brain, and then it went away, and then Rue reminded me about it at the end, and I was like, oh yeah, that's right, I forget he was like that's how he got his start.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you always kind of think of him with his solo career, like when he first started, because that's when I think of the start of his career. But yeah, so that was good. I don't know, I thought he looked fantastic. I was so happy. It's like more Ricky
I'm
Martin
not
on my
screen. As familiar with Jujubee, so I didn't realize that she was the type of bitch to know how to read a bitch down. So I was really going into this challenge rooting for Cracker, because I feel like I've watched a lot of her videos. I've become such a huge fan after watching her she was season 10. Was she season 10? Was that season 10? Yeah, season 10. And so I know that she's funny. She's a comedy queen. But I felt like her jokes, while they were funny and kitschy, I just felt like they weren't like, they didn't pack enough of a punch. Because like the whole Blair St. Clair thing was like, oh, you know, I never really have anything to say about anybody, but I have a genuine respect for them. So I guess we're done here, which is funny. But like, I feel like there wasn't enough like, I don't know, shade. Like, I feel like it wasn't juicy enough.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They felt generic.
Yeah,
like a generic.
Some of them felt a little pasted on. Like, I think she could have used that read about anybody, you know? It didn't feel specific to Blair St. Clair at all. By the way, I did want to say Ricky Martin, I know when his moment came There was like a back-to-back year where he did the Cup of Life for the World Cup in 1998, and then he performed that number on the Grammys, and it was like literally brought the house down. Okay, and then the next year I think is when he did Livin' La Vida Loca, and it was just like his career took off. And like I remember, because I think I was like what, 23 at the time? Yeah, 23. And so like I'm in the prime of my life and I'm like, oh my god, this guy is amazing. And then like to know like 20 years later he's going to be on like one of my favorite shows, like RuPaul's Drag Race, and I'm glad he stuck around. Like I was really like nervous that he was just going to be there for the reading challenge, and then I'm glad he stuck around for the talent part of it because it was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was nervous this is going to be like a Lisa Kudrow, yes, type situation, right, where it just like pops in, pops, yeah, out. So I was also really happy that he stuck around. And there was one little moment when he reads Rue and he does it in Spanish, and Alexis obviously speaks,
right,
Spanish.
She
was laughing. Yeah. That was really cute. Yeah. I just loved that little,
yeah,
moment.
That was cute.
Okay, well, the winner of the mini challenge is a tie between Blair St. Clair and Jujubee, which I thought was fine. I was hoping Jujubee would win, so I was like, okay, that's fine. I guess I'll take a tie. Yeah. But
we'll take a tie. Yeah. Fine.
Yeah, we know how we feel about all stars and ties. We're not really starting off strong here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I thought the joke was the fact that, oh, another tie. Yeah.
Another tie. Starting things off with a tie. Yeah, who knows? We'll get a 10-way crowning for the queen, mm-hmm, or for the crown. Or 9, I guess, because Derek did go home. But maybe she'll be brought back.
Yeah, I know, right? Who knows?
Like she said. This maxi challenge is going to be, okay, so it's just the talent show. Okay, yes or no? Because at first I was like, oh, it's lip syncing numbers because it's the Work the World headlining extravaganza. So I thought that maybe the talents had to be specific because I felt like this really was the lip sync to your own song challenge was what we actually got on the runway. But I think it was just the talent show. Right. So I think you could have done anything, but anyway, so that's what we get announced. And also it's really funny that they included find the tour when the tour Work the World is coming to your city. It was like, can't you just like cut that? Because we can't have any large gatherings because, right, of Corona. Yeah. Like you couldn't edit the 10 seconds, right, out. But whatever. Pet peeve of mine. Okay. Workroom drama. This is when we get the setup for India v. Derek. Amon, did you know about this?
No,
going
I really
into the
didn't.
Show?
And to be honest, after watching the scene, I'm still confused as to who some of the major players are in this battle. I really think I'm going to have to watch one of Jake Yonce's videos to really get the breakdown about what is going on. I was just upset that,
yeah,
Derek Barry was the one to end up in drama because I just walked around talking to all my friends about Derek Barry and how I was excited for him to come back. And I know that, you know, a lot of people feel sort of like blasé about him. But I really felt like towards the end of season 8, there were a lot of redeeming qualities that I could tell that she's a very, very hard worker. And I know that I'm like switching back and forth between pronouns. It's just so hard with Derek Barry being a boy's name. But
yeah, I know.
So I just really wanted her to come in strong. And I was just like, no, like, don't let this be a part of your thing already. Like, I'm all here for the drama and everything, but for the first episode, Derek, really? I was just annoyed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I forgot how much I liked sassy Derek that just is so oblivious to some things that are going on around her. And that was what was enjoyable about Derek, like the Derek v. Bob stuff, because it was like Bob was so clearly gonna win and it was like, right, Derek, what are you doing? Right. And I enjoyed Derek on my screen for this episode. I'm actually kind of sad that Derek went, although I think I want to see more from Mayhem, so I wasn't ready to let her go. And I was like, well, if this storyline is just going to be boring, but if it was real legit drama, and that feels like such a rarity, especially after season 12 where everybody got along so well. Yeah. So I very much enjoyed that brand.
Yeah, I enjoyed it too. I think I have a kindred spirit in India Farah, somebody who, like, you know, has some natural talent, but then like lets her online persona just spew stuff everywhere and maybe gets a little bit over her skis. I felt like I see you, queen. I got you. But the other thing with her was that I couldn't tell who was actually telling the truth, but it did seem to me that it emanated from the fact that India decided to quit drag and core quit the Piranha Club, and then somebody who was a friend of Derek's took her place. But I'm sure that India quitting the Piranha Club like, I'm sure there was more to it. You don't just quit a gig when you're a drag queen. You know, gigs are hard to find unless you're going to move up and do something else. So she probably had something shady to say about the queen. I'm guessing it was Nebraska who took her place at the club. And then Nebraska didn't take kindly to that. And then India had something to say about that. And then it's like, you know, everybody's guilty of everything. So I don't know. I will say that I'm glad that India Ferris seems to be in a better place, but I think I am going to withhold judgment to see whether or not that's actually true or not, because everything that I saw, again, I think I said this on the preview podcast or the when we talked about it at the end of the finale, when we talked about All Stars, I can't believe that they asked India Ferris back. India Ferris has had some not so nice things to say about drag in general, and especially RuPaul and RuPaul's Drag Race. So the fact that her main foil is now gone from the show, I'm glad she ended up winning this challenge. I know I'm jumping around, but because I feel like she's going to need something extra and beyond what other queens have in order to stick around, because if not, she's not long for this world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens now, because it did feel like this episode was one little narrative and one little story in and of itself. And now that's over. And so it feels like next week, yes, is, I guess, a continuation. But I feel like it's going to be a new, we're going to have a new story. We're going to have some new drama, you know, because everybody else, even though I loved Angina going around and getting the drama from right. everybody, you know, something else is going to happen with these players now that Derek is gone. So we'll have to see how that
I'm hoping that India Ferris can be a really fun villainess. I mean, like, I have no illusions that she's going to win, but I'm hoping that she can stick around for four, five, six episodes and maybe give somebody a few heart palpitations and a run for their money. I mean, she's clearly got talent. I'm sorry, she does.
I mean, I feel like that's probably the arc, mm-hmm. right? Like, and she's probably going to piss somebody else off of, like, if she yep. doesn't have Derek to put her aggression towards anymore. So it's going to be somebody else, and they're going to eventually eliminate her when they get the chance.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then hopefully we get the Mayhem needs to support her or something, and then betrays her.
Oh, that would be amazing.
That would be really fun. If I was writing, yeah, if I was writing reality TV, that's how I would write it. So get on it, producers. The Maxi Challenge, like we talked about, was the Work the World headlining extravaganza, which I believe is just a talent show, but I don't really know. The guest judge, of course, is Ricky Martin, who sticks around. And then we have our usual panel. So let's go through all of these numbers and talk about them, because I wish they had all been longer, first of all, because I felt like I didn't get enough of each of them. A few of them we really did get to see, like Alexis Mateo. I felt like I got a sense of what hers were. I felt like others were a little bit shorter. But Brent, what did you think about Alexa's performance?
I thought it was great. She was clearly in her element and having a great time. I did notice the 1-inch heels. I'm glad that Michelle clocked her on it. Like, if you're going to be a drag queen, you've got to learn how to dance in 3-inch heels or above. You just do. You can't go out there and cheat. I mean, you're a drag queen. Come on, go out there and work it. But that aside, and I did love her shade back at Michelle when she was like, you know, bitch, you're gonna love these, I stoned them for you. Like, I mean, that is the way to play with the judging panel. Don't get defensive, turn it around with humor and give it back to them. And I really thought she did a good job of that, and also did a great job on the main stage shaking her shimmy out there. And I don't know how much rehearsal time they had with the boys, but that was flawlessly done. And I really thought that overall, she was probably the one that I felt the most rich about, insofar as, like, I felt like I was getting the full Alexis Mateo experience, you know?
Mm-hmm. Aman, I was okay about you? With
it.
What do you think?
It was definitely fun. It was very high energy. I love dance numbers. But I wasn't blown away. I feel like it's sort of the same thing of like how they walked into the workroom. I was like, okay. Okay, but All Stars 5, mm-hmm. though. Like, we've seen people lip sync to their own songs before, and that's great, but I really need, if you're going to lip sync to your own stuff, I need bigger and better, and just, I want to be shocked. I want to get up and dance with you. And while I thought that it was fine, I thought it was a good performance, I just wasn't wowed by it.
I was fine. It felt like You're going to play the hits,
yeah.
because even within the song, we get Sickening No and Bam. And that's, I love Alexis Mateo, and she's really fun. But in my head, all I could think was, I think Brent, you said it when we previewed the cast, was Alexis has a very defined style of drag. Yeah. I will call it dated, yep, perhaps.
Very dated, yeah.
and she lives within that box. And I think her entrance look and this performance all sort of felt like that, which is that's why people love Alexis Mateo, because she is an outstanding performer and she does have that niche. However, it is going to get boring if this is what we're going to see
really
every single week. So
by the
I
fact
get that.
Ricky like, Martin was there too to really like really just be all into her performance, which is fantastic and great and cultural. And so I don't want to shit on her heritage or anything, because it's beautiful. It really is. I just feel like, okay, but give me more. Where's the drag? Because I feel like I'm just getting pageant in Puerto Rico. Like I need something else.
I'm with you. I mean, like I said, I did feel like we got the Alexis Mateo experience. But that said, I do feel like that you could have subbed out another queen. Like, she's already been on All Stars once, right? You could have subbed out like, let me back up. So you brought back Alexis Mateo, who's already come back to All Stars one time before. And for what? Did she have something new to say? Does she have something else that we haven't seen? This just looks exactly like everything that she's ever done before. And while it was fantastic, it is dated. Mm-hmm. And it's not new. So I'm sure she's going to survive, as she did, obviously, episode one, going out there and killing it. But the challenges in the gamut of RuPaul's Drag Race are unforgiving. There's just no way that there is no crown in her future. I'll call it now.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I liked the number. I liked the playing the hits, but I think it was aided by the fact that she was the first one, because I got super sick of queens lip syncing their own songs by the end. But also, you know, it's good in small doses, but I agree with you. I think that it's going to get a little boring if this is what we see. I kind of wish that she had had her confessional that was similar to Derek's, where it was like, okay, you know, I know I did all this, but I'm ready to show people like what I'm like now, you know, or something like that, that shows that there's been some sort of progression. Cause I do follow her on Insta, and the looks, I mean, you know, she's got her drag, which is fabulous and fantastic. I think we kind of want a new toy to play with, though. And I don't know if she's going to deliver for that.
Yeah.
So. All right, but we shall see, because this was fun, and I think she deserved to. I don't know if she deserved. Well, we talk about that later after we talk about everybody who deserved to be in the top and bottom, because there was some people I did not think deserved to be there.
Now let's take a break to hear a word from our sponsors.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to. Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo, and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And we are back. Let's talk about Shea Coulee, who did freaking pole dancing, Brent. What do you think about Shea's performance?
I thought it was a great idea. I thought she did it. She did a serviceable job. She was sexy as hell, but I did feel like there were a few clunky moments. I did not feel like it was flawless, and it didn't really seem to go anywhere. I wanted like a big, you know, wrap around the pole, reveal moment where something happens, but it just seemed to stay on the same level the entire time. And while it was fantastic, and I am a big Shea Coulee fan, I didn't feel like it had the pop that it needed to have to be one of the top queens. But I may be outvoted on this one. I don't know.
I agree with you, actually, because I thought it was like, oh my God, that's super cool when I saw the poll and what she was doing. But I also felt that it was a little clunky. I read somewhere that she didn't have a lot of time to learn, or like had only taken lessons for a short period of time or something like that. So I think that's one of the reasons why it came out
on the episode.
Clunky,
like, she only had a week. And also that poll. You know, as we know, Aman, not all polls are made the same.
Oh my God.
So I felt like the poll had more give than I think a natural poll would. And that's hard. Like, if you're not used to that, you're going to come off as a little bit clumsy. And also, Shay's a big girl. She is tall. So for her to come out there and work the poll like that, you're holding up a lot of weight, and you're going to have to work extra hard to make it look flawless and easy and elegant. And I think she succeeded, but it was more like a passing grade. And I do think she was just a safe queen.
Yeah, I felt like it seemed as if there were more tricks that she wanted to do that maybe because I noted one of the first things that I noticed was the pole was like moving with her. And I was like, that's not supposed to happen.
Yeah.
So I was like wondering, or maybe were there tricks that she wanted to do that maybe weren't cleared because they were, you know, afraid for her safety. And so she had to readjust the performance to make it a little less dangerous, because there's only maybe one or two tricks that I was like, oh yes, bitch, work. When she like swung around with one arm and then reattached the other arm, and like that was really, really cool. But then there was nothing else after that. And I'm like, I need, like, pole dancing is really, really hard, we know, but the payoff from watching those performances, like some of these strippers, man, they are acrobats, and we just did not get a acrobatic moment from her, with the exception of that revolving thing. So yeah, I don't know if it was because she just, if this was her performance and this is what she came up with and this is what she's choreographed, then yeah, shit, this was fine. Like I expect more from you. But if it was something to do with, like, you know, maybe she had to edit out some things because the pole wasn't the way that it should have been, then okay, well then sure. But yeah, it was clunky, and it didn't flow the way that I wanted it to.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about one of the queens that ended up in the bottom this week, Mayhem Miller. Amon,
I didn't understand
what did
a
you
word
think about Mayhem? No.
Not one iota of a word. Nothing. Nada. Zilch. Zip. And when she came out and sat on that throne, and then she did that little, she reenacted the meme or the video that she's famous for, I was like, okay, here we go. Self-referential humor. Here we go. Let's get this started. And then, huh? Like, I need subtitles, please.
Yeah, I'd had a glass of wine when I was watching the episode, and I was like, oh my god, did I drink the whole bottle? I was like, why can I not understand what's happening? Like, but Brent, you love Mayhem.
Look, I am the biggest Mayhem Miller fan, but god damn it, mama, what the hell? Like, why can you not like live up to what I want you to live up to? Like, every time I'm like, oh my god, Mayhem Miller, I love her. I did this on her original season as well, where I'm like, oh my god, I love Mayhem Miller, she's amazing. And then she just comes out here and shits the bed. It's like, what are you doing? Like, you, like, of all of the numbers, this is the one number where they tell you ahead of time, okay, it's going to be a talent show. You can do whatever you want for it. You got 90 seconds. Go for it. And she spent 10 of those seconds sitting in a goddamn chair looking like crazy eyes. And then the rest of the time, you couldn't even understand her. Like, I don't know if the mix was wrong or her diction was wrong, or possibly like the bass in the music was overpowering the vocals. But I'm with Amon. I couldn't understand anything. And then, like, I wondered at first, okay, is that just me? But then, no, we're getting like quizzical looks from all of the judges, including Rue, including Michelle, where they literally don't know what is being said. And I'm like, oh girl, she could literally go home during the first episode, and she would deserve it. Like, I think she probably did deserve it, but we'll talk about it.
I think there was the moment when Ross had his like confused clapping moment.
Yeah, Ross is like me. Oh, Ross loves Mayhem. Everybody loves Mayhem. You guys love Mayhem. She's amazing. We love her. We want her to do well. Like, the idea of Mayhem Miller always surpasses the actuality of Mayhem Miller, and that's why I'm disappointed.
I don't know. Maybe there's some weird power when she walks onto the Drag Race set, just like it's sapped out of her.
Maybe
or something
it's just like performance
like
anxiety, you know? Maybe she's just
queen,
comfortable.
But
she got comfortable.
Yeah.
You know, being in the LA drag race or the drag circuit in LA, and she's been, because we know that she's been auditioning for the show so many times, and she watched so many of her peers.
Yeah.
I think people, even maybe in her drag family, make it onto the show and then she hasn't. And everybody had been talking about, oh, we got to get Mayhem, to the point where she walked into that workroom and like all those girls cheered for her because they knew how much she wanted this. So maybe it's just now that she finally achieved it, she got on Drag Race, it's like, oh shit, what do I do now? Like, I spent all the time wanting it and not enough time actually thinking about what it is I'm going to do to succeed.
Yeah, and I take your point, but that's what I feel like happened on her original season. Like, so has, like, it's been, what, 2-3 years now? Like, has she had no time for growth? Like, she was already on RuPaul's Drag Race. She won a challenge. She got to live her dream. Then she was on the tour, and now she's back. So give us something more. And also, she was on the Holiday Holla Slay special, which I think was in large part one of the reasons why she was cast on All Stars 5.
Yeah.
So what's the deal, queen?
No, maybe she don't have it. Maybe she just don't get it.
just don't. Well, thankfully she stays around, so we'll get to see at least in episode two if she's able to sort of come back from this performance, because yeah, I also had no idea what she was saying. And I read in a comment on Reddit, somebody was like, even the subtitles just had like indistinguishable lyrics or something like that written. So even the subtitles couldn't figure out what she was saying. Well, let's talk about another queen who ended up being safe, but I personally think she should have been in the top, even if just for the fact, talking about Mariah here, even if just for the fact that it was not lip syncing to her own song. Mm-hmm, like she did the poem, which I you know, is, I guess, in a similar vein, but at least it was something different, Brent.
At least it was something different, and at least it was something that made you think a little bit. I will say that the composition of the piece itself, I felt like probably needed a little bit more pop to it. Like there needed to be a couple of moments. Like that was the thing about Tatiana's poetry moment, was like there were gags and there were things that she said where, you know, there was a roller coaster of emotions throughout it. And I feel like this one was more like middle of the road. Like there was a little bit of intensity, but it never grew to more than it was. So that's probably why, in my eyes, it ended up safe. I did appreciate the fact that she didn't lip sync to her own music, or it wasn't just a lip sync. It was something more, but I did feel like it needed an extra oomph.
Okay. I also did not understand a word that she said during this. I don't know if it was my. I'm starting to think, because now that the both of you have said that you really enjoyed it, I'm like, okay, maybe it was just my fucking TV, because I couldn't understand Mayhem.
Well, I'll admit that I didn't understand everything she said, but I understood enough to know what she was saying. Like I understood the important parts, if that makes sense.
I tried my best to look up like
maybe
the lyrics, but I couldn't find any, because I guess, you know, I hadn't been uploaded by anybody yet. I found it. Oh great, this is awesome. Okay, so she said, stains upon the walls of those who voice power and pride, stains of those who refuse to be silenced or hide, stains on the wall of those who feared and misunderstood, stains of those who were told who to love, how to love, and how to act. Religious veils will sanctify that. Retaliation to a terror born of this nation. The stains of those who live through segregation. Will we transcend and ascend? Will the fear and hate ever end? That's the greatest question of all. Until then, I'll continue to tell the story of the stains on the wall.
And it wasn't just that, but on the stains on the wall part, she had it perfectly choreographed where her hand ended up right above the stain on the wall so that it looked like the blood was from her. And that's what I felt like. If there was reason to put her in the top, that was the reason why. It was a well choreographed number.
Yeah, I just lived for when RuPaul. Honestly, I love RuPaul. I do, but sometimes I'm like, where is the gauge? Where is the gauge of talent here? Because all she did was stick her hand in a bucket of paint and then wipe the paint on a clear window pane, and RuPaul is like, it's like, I don't.
To be fair, that was also me. I think it was because it went from like mayhem of not understanding what was going on to then being like, oh, finally, like,
okay, sure.
I don't know.
Because I didn't understand it, so maybe it just didn't have the same impact, but I was just like, RuPaul is so.
Oh, that's fair.
He is so extra at all times.
Basic.
But I mean, I thought that it was fine. Now that I know what the lyrics say, I mean, I get the symbolism, I get what she was going for. And you know, of course, you know, Drag Race is a very political show, and so I never am going to shit on a queen that takes the time to deliver a message. So in that respect, I thought it was great. I do agree with Brent, though. I feel like there is like a bit of like maybe a little bit of pop that it's missing, but I think that's, you know, a critique for all of these queens at this point, maybe with the exception of one of them.
Yeah, I couldn't tell because it was edited so quickly also, because I was like, maybe she has more pauses in there that we're not seeing that somehow got edited out. Because, yeah, I can, even though I did understand what she was saying, it did feel like rapid fire. It didn't feel like, okay, you need to sort of take the time to let the words that you're saying like really sink in. So I think it could have been better. Like, I could give her critiques, I think, that would make it a more impactful number. That being said, I really did enjoy it also. Because
yeah, that's a
it was
good
different.
Point. It really was edited so quickly. So, you know, it really doesn't. It's supposed to be an impactful performance, right? But you don't really get a lot of time to sit with it. So it's just like, okay, on to the next. Now let's go to freaking Miss Cracker, dressed as a pickle, after this really, really important message from Mariah Balenciaga. So.
Yeah, oh my God. Talk about a tonal shift. Okay, we're going to talk about this, and then all of a sudden, pickle. Well, Aman, you're a big Cracker fan. What did you think of this performance? Were you proud of your girl?
I guess. I don't know what it was. It was just another lip sync to her song. And I don't know. I thought it was campy, but I laughed. And I thought that the death drop was sort of unexpected. And so did Rue. You get another gasp from him. And I think that she's fun. And I think that she's fresh. But I'm worried already that this is going to be what sends her home, because she's going to rely on like being silly. And I don't want her to go home. But I mean, I liked it. Yeah. I liked it. I just don't know if I liked it because Brent, it was Cracker, though. You know what I mean? Like, would I have accepted this from somebody else? I feel like I'm being so harsh on all these queens this episode.
Well, I mean, look, she came out with the pickle number, and then she had a reveal, and she had a little prop, and then she threw it into the audience, and then she did a fabulous number with a little camp and a little death drop. I mean, like, what do you want them on?
I don't know. I just feel like all of these performances, maybe with the exception of India's, maybe, are just...
Yeah.
I remember All Stars 3 with Aja and with Milk and with... I remember All Stars 4 with freaking Manila Luzon painting and then turning it upside down and it's something else. I remember All Stars 2 with Detox, and I remember Tatiana. I'm forgetting her name. She had all those rib reveals. I remember All Stars 3 again with the freaking Ben de la Creme. Roxy, yes.
Yeah.
There was so much like surprise, 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 surprise. And I don't know, maybe I'm just spoiled, I guess. I just feel like there was just no surprise here.
Mm-hmm. Well, the surprise to me was the winner. I mean, that's where the surprise was. But I take your point, though. I feel like that most of these queens were on like a 6 or a 7 and they needed to be at a 9 or a 10. And there was really only one queen in my eyes that gave the 9 or 10 performance, where she gave everything she possibly could and literally was fighting for her life out there. And no one else really did.
Well, this is why I brought up what was the maxi challenge, if it truly was the talent show, or did it have to fit some other criteria because it was the Work the World headlining extravaganza? Right. Like, that show is a very specific thing. You're not gonna maybe have the same performance that we would see in just a generic talent show. So that's why I was a little confused, because it did feel like everything was very samey. And I think that's kind of maybe, Aman, where your feelings are coming from too, that it was just like, okay, another lip syncing number.
Yeah.
So you think
this is with humor?
You think that it was because of the construct of the challenge, that it was the Work the World, you know, quote unquote talent show, and thus because of that they were constrained from what they could do. It wasn't just like literally do whatever you want. It was do whatever you want within the confines of the Work the World show.
I don't know, maybe, but then Derek did impressions. So that was the one, that was like the one that I felt like really didn't fit because everything else felt very similar. Maybe Blair's, because she sang live, would be a little bit different, but the rest of them I felt really all sort of fit within that box. So I don't know. I don't know if that was defined to them or if they interpreted, oh, it's a, you know, the Work the World extravaganza talent show, but the Work the World part is what stands out because, you know, they're in this world. They know what those shows are about. So I'm not sure, but that was the impression that I got, at least from what the queens delivered. So, well, speaking of Miss Blair St. Clair and singing live, Brent, what did you think about Blair?
Truthfully, I don't remember a lot of what happened with Blair. Can somebody remind me what she
sang?
This was one of the meh performances.
And I was rough,
I was a little rough. I mean, I remember it now, but like, I wasn't impressed by it. But I mean, like, anybody that can go out there and do their own vocals to me is somebody that, like, I'm going to take a look at, like, hey. But of course, I can't really remember her. So there's that. Amon, what do you think of her?
Vocally speaking, there really wasn't.
Save me, Amon.
Vocally speaking, there really wasn't a lot to work with. She sort of like stayed in her lower register, and she's such a small human being that I felt like she probably had like a higher voice and could probably hit a few belting notes. But even on the sustained long there at the end, it was just like very, it didn't really go anywhere. And, you know, she apparently, because my friend listens to some of her music, apparently she's had a couple hits. Like some of her stuff has charted, at least on the dance charts for Billboard. So maybe it was just the song choice. Maybe she tried to choose a pop number that was really only meant for the club and not really meant to be sang live. And I mean, she looked great. I liked her makeup. I thought that she looked stunning. I thought that she, you know, owned the stage. But yeah. I just think that as far as, you know, the vocals are concerned, yeah, like I'm definitely not calling her to be at any of my major events in life to perform.
Yeah, as far as her beat goes, like I think that she was definitely one of the top three. She's always been that way, though. She always knows how to paint a face. But overall, though, I think here's the thing. She said when she was doing her entrance look, and then she, you know, spoke a little bit during the confessional, she was like, "I'm Blair St. Clair, and I'm all grown up." Well, mostly. And I'm like, what are you talking about? You're not grown up at all. You look exactly the same that you did like 3 years ago.
I thought she was younger than me.
I thought she was
like really younger than me. I'm surprised. She's like she's 25. I was like, how do you look like that at 25?
Yeah. She looks 16. I'm not kidding. Like, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe by grown up, she's like, I got some Juvederm, girl. I got these lips plumped. Like, I'm all grown up now. But I don't know. I think she looks absolutely stunning. Yeah. She's just so freaking pretty. But the lyric, the song was, it was fine, but it wasn't good enough. Again, I like that it was different. It was something different. It was giving me a little bit of Fifi from All Stars 2 flashbacks, where Fifi sang a cappella, but Fifi's vocals were definitely better, but it was like the same vibe, right? So Blair had the backing track, but it wasn't as good.
But you
good,
know,
so,
one thing that anyway, I will say about, sort of about Blair St. Clair, and maybe I'm being a little bit too premature with this being that it's only been one episode, is that I appreciate her earnest that she is. She really does want to come on and just, you know, be the big girl that everybody wants her to be, which is refreshing for me, because a lot of the Drag Race queens in her archetype, the skinny model-esque white girls, really tend to sort of like rest on their laurels sometimes. Like, we saw it happen a little bit with Gigi. She got a little bit complacent last season. We saw it with Aquaria and she ended up winning. So sometimes, you know, it gets a little bit stale for me, but I feel like with Blair, she really, really, really wants it. And I can see that in her. And I can see that she doesn't want to just be pretty. She wants to be a quote unquote big girl. So I enjoy that. So hopefully she keeps that spirit.
Mm-hmm. I think she has that little bit of extra polish that really mm-hmm. makes her stand out, I think, for me. And that will be interesting to see where that takes her throughout the course of the season. Do I think she's going to win? No, probably not. But I think she can make a deep run in the season, depending on how others perform.
Since we're talking about that, can we just talk before we go any further about who could win? Like, look at the 10 names and then tell me who can win All Stars. Because where I'm sitting from, I think it's two names and two names only.
Okay.
Obviously, I'm talking about Shea Coulee.
I want to hear
Shea Coulee and Jujubee. Those are the two that I think could win. I don't think that Cracker can win. Maybe.
No.
But probably not. Like Alexis Mateo, Blair St. Clair. Huh. Well, I'm sorry, honey. I keep it real, you know? India Fair, no. Come on. Be real. Mariah Balenciaga, Mayhem Miller, Angina, stop it. Like, it's literally one of the two.
Well, why not Angina?
So, unless they can get them out.
I just started watching season one, so I'm getting a little bit more familiar with her. She seems like she's got some oomph. No? I mean, she had the best workroom look. She's here to slay.
Yeah, the best workroom look, but I mean, as far as the talent goes, I thought it was like half-ass at best, and she's been waiting to get on All Stars for how long now, and that's what you got for me?
Yeah, I was a little nervous. So after the performance, so she's an ex-queen that we would talk about. And so I'm just going to give my thoughts about that now because we're sort of discussing this. Because I, when she came out with in the little car, I was like, oh my God, that's so cool. And then she had the ill-fitting dress. I was like, okay, it's going to be a reveal. And there was like a second ill-fitting dress. And then there was underneath like a bodysuit that wasn't like quite well-fitted. But also I didn't see it really well because it was like happening all super fast. It was fine, but it wasn't, I didn't think that it was, I wasn't blown away by it. Again, it also fit into the lip syncing category performance. Yeah. She's on the bubble for me. So after that performance, she's on the bubble. I would have maybe put her in the winning category, but for me, it's Shea Coulee, Juju. Yeah, I think maybe.
I don't know.
No, I take that back. I take it back. Juju. I think Shea Coulee, Juju B with an outside chance of Cracker. That's what I would pick as probably the top three queens that could win the season. But for me, I agree with you, Brent. I do think it's between Shea and Juju. But come on. You think Cracker can win?
I think so. I mean, I think that she also, you know, has a not quite an identical story to Shea Coulee because she didn't make it as far as Shea Coulee did, but she was a really beloved queen on her season. She won a couple of challenges, I think. And the way that she went home was just so, it so burns my ass to this day because she went home to fucking Cameron Michaels, whose ass should have been gone. And it wasn't as if the lip sync that she destroyed, like, Cameron did not destroy Crack on that lip sync. She just did not. RuPaul just wanted to keep her lip sync assassin for another week, and so she did. And it pisses me off because I feel like Cracker was very, very strong in the competition. She had one bad week, and that one bad week, in comparison with Cameron McMichaels, how many bad weeks, ended up being the one that sent her home. And I'm like, there was so much more that I feel like we could have gotten from her. And I really feel like we're gonna see that on this season. Yes, I don't believe that this talent show was like that great. I still enjoyed it. I thought it was funny. She made Rue laugh. And that's like, you know, the number one rule here. And so I can see it for her. I can.
I think because she makes Rue laugh. I think that's so incredibly important. Obviously, we talk about it all the time. And so I think that's why I feel like she has a shot. But I don't know. God, Jujubee is just so good. I just love Jujubee so much. So I have my own personal rooting interest. Shea Coulee is also, I think, fantastic. I think like if we're doing like a head, heart, gut kind of thing, my head thinks Shea would win, but my heart really wants Juju to win. And then Cracker is kind of like a distant third.
Yeah.
So
whatever, y'all. We'll
okay. Well, I already gave my thoughts on Angina, but Brent, what did you think?
I thought this was a number that she would literally do at the club, not in terms of like the car and everything, but like the dancing was clearly something that you would see her do on a Friday night when she's shaking for a dollar. Like, seriously, there was no choreography to it. It was just like her working the stage a little bit, like shimmy here, girl done. Like that's all it was. And so I was like, you didn't do any more than that? Like, you didn't, like, obviously she didn't plan. You can tell the difference between planned choreography and not planned choreography. And that choreography was not planned. She just went out there and shook her shit. That's all she did. And that's why I'm annoyed by it.
Yeah, okay, I was so excited for this when she walked out and she came out in that little dumbass little car. I was like, okay, it's going to be funny. Obviously, it's about Drag Race. She's playing Sissy That Walk, so she's pandering to Rue, but it seems like a celebration more so than like, you know, let me just give Rue his hits. And she takes off that first reveal. I'm like, okay. And she takes off the other one. I'm like, okay, bitch, okay. And then she takes off the last one and I'm like, oh. And then she does some weird ass fake cartwheel thing that looked like Monique Hart floundering on stage back in season 10.
But they shot it from a different angle though, so it didn't look as bad.
I'm just like, okay, that was that.
It didn't go where I wanted it to go. And because I think it started, I was intrigued, and then it was fine. I'm a little nervous for Angina because, you know, I know she's been wanting to come back for a really long time. And I want I want her to do well because I loved her in her original season, but I'm just nervous that she's not going to do well.
Well,
so that's where I'm at emotionally.
Let's be clear. Like, she should have been in the bottom. Like, she should have been in the bottom with the other two. Like, it should have been a bottom three because I didn't see much difference between the three of them. And then Rue saved her and said, oh, well, you're safe. And I'm like, okay, see, that's another way that Rue can play with the results a little bit, where, because I guarantee you at some point this season, we're going to see a bottom three. It's not just going to be a bottom two. For there to be only two queens up for elimination during the first episode, I was like, that's some shade. That's some shady dealings going on there, girl. She's just trying to save on Gina because they would have sent her home. But not so.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about another queen who was in the bottom, Derek Amon. As a Derek fan, how did you feel about Derek's impressions?
Like post-traumatic stress disorder, because I love me some Miss Jasmine Masters. I really do. I love Jasmine Masters. I think that she is so funny. And so when she said that she was going to come on stage last year for All Stars 4 and do a comedy number, I was like, okay, she might actually win this. And then we saw how that shit went. And so when Derek came out and did this, oh man, the thing is like a lot of the audience was laughing. So she was getting laughs. But the judges were just not here for it. And I chuckled at a few of the impressions. I didn't realize that Derek Barry had a bit of, you know, some comedic chops. I didn't know that at all. And on the pit stop, Bob the drag queen did say that, yeah, Derek Barry is really, really good at impressions. And I felt like some of them were kind of solid. Some of them were like, eh. But I just feel like the structure of it was the bad thing. Like, you didn't. Once again, like, the timing of it all is weird. Like, these performances are so short that she has to go so quickly through so many of these impressions that it doesn't, none of them get a chance to breathe. And so, like, that was like really just the biggest flaw within the performance. Because while some of them were funny, it was so clunky.
Yeah, it was clunky. And I think one of her critiques was, if you hadn't said who you were doing, I may not have known who it was, and that she needed to differentiate a little bit more. But Brent, what did you think about Derek?
I think it's somewhat telling. For those of you who've been following my Twitter, you know that I've been sick for the past day or so. And the minute we started talking about Derek's number, I started feeling sick again. Like, I did not like this at all. I don't understand how Derek thought that this was going to fly. How do you think you're going to go out there and do a number on the microphone with no music underlay? And it's just literally you speaking. So if you don't get a laugh, all you're going to hear is silence. And that's all she heard for half of that performance. Also, I take the point that she had to tell them who she was doing at any point. And then also she came out there in a goddamn Britney wig. And she said the whole point of her coming back was to do something other than Britney and to show how much she's grown. And then she comes out there and does Britney and Friends. Are you fucking kidding me? I was so pissed at this.
Britney and Friends. Yeah, I like the fact that Derek can't do Derek. That was sort of a funny joke. I don't know, some weird like meta Derek not being self-aware that Derek gets criticized for doing Britney and then Derek decides to do impressions. It just really made me laugh. I, again, super happy that it was something not lip syncing. That being said, I didn't really know what I was watching and I did not particularly respond well to it. So I think that she deserved to be in the bottom. I thought she was going to be in the bottom. And that's what happened because this was just meh.
It just wasn't Derek. I really wanted to see her do well. I really did. Derek.
Yeah, me too.
I would be here for a Derek glow up that's like, I'm going to kill and like do show you that I'm, you know, who I am and what I can do. I think I kind of want that from a storytelling perspective, but unfortunately that's not what we got here. The next queen that was up was Jujubee, Brent, who was took me a long time to figure out, but not singing live.
Yeah, I was actually going to ask you guys. I wasn't sure. See, well, you know, she did it so well that we couldn't tell. So I'm going to give her a little bit of a pass on that. You know what? This bitch still knows how to come out there and make a moment. And I know she wasn't singing live, but it looked like she was. And she still had the moves and the grace and the passion to make it look like she was singing live. And if you can fool me, good on ya. So I really liked what she did here.
Amon, does this change anything for you now that you know that she
wasn't
singing
live? Yes,
because
if Blair sang live, did she sing live too, or did Blair lip sync?
No, Blair did. I mean, I hope for Blair's sake that Blair sang live.
I mean, fine. The other queens lip synced too, but some of them were dancing. You just stood there in a gown. Like, you could have sang live. Why not?
Well, okay, let's say you hadn't known that. Let's say you thought she was really singing. What would your opinion have
been? I would
have
been like, okay, this was definitely, especially in comparison with Blair's, like, she definitely was the stronger singer. And it was like, Brent's right. It was a moment. It was, you know, she commanded the stage. She got our attention, and it was an emotional song. So I thought that it would have been awesome if it were live. But now that it's not live, I'm like, ugh. Mm-hmm.
So I absolutely also had the hills and valleys of, oh my gosh, that's amazing, because I thought she was singing live. Then, like Amon, I was a little disappointed that she wasn't live. But then I came around to Brent's point that was, but if she can fool me and do such a good job performing, I will give her so much credit for that, because it was so incredibly emotional. And if you're going to talk about lip sync assassins, Jujubee is a lip sync assassin. So I am nervous for whatever assassin is going to go against her, because she is just so incredibly outstanding. For me, her performance was the best. It was one of the best, like, lip sync performances, because I was just, it just felt so good and it felt emotional and I was captivated by it. Again, I'm a huge Jujubee fan, so I'll just be biased, but I liked it. I was impressed by it, and I'm excited to see what else Jujubee is going to do on this season. Now, India Farah is our final queen. Is Brent, is this the queen that you were talking about with the nine eight energy or whatever?
Like, I felt like, I mean, I felt like India absolutely came up there and killed it. Like, she absolutely just killed it. Like, she wanted to prove to everybody that she is a force to be reckoned with, and she wanted to go out there and win. Like, I don't think in her wildest dreams that she thought that she could win the first challenge of RuPaul's Drag Race, but she went out there and did it. And not only that, in my eyes, she blew them the fuck away. Like, there was no one close to India Farah. I think if one of the other quote-unquote stars of the season had been close to India Farah, that Ru might have went that way. But basically what happened in my eyes was that India went out there and forced RuPaul to award her the win, and it was a really special moment. I mean, I between the hairography and the choreography and the lip syncing and the overall energy that the performance had, she's lip syncing, but still, it was an absolute number. It was an event to watch her. I loved this performance by India Farah. And I think, again, I thought that we weren't going to get much from her. I thought she was going to be a disappointment. So it's always the game of expectations, because I didn't think we were going to get much. And then when she came out there and killed it, I was like, oh shit, girl, you know, I'm here for you now. And it's just nice to see somebody get a little bit of redemption. I like that, or redemption.
Amon, did you feel the same way?
One of the best parts about this performance was Mayhem Miller mocking her as she was doing her hair tossing in the confessional. This was the number that had the most energy. It just did. It was the most concise. Mm-hmm. It was the most to the point. It packed the most punch. And I mean, the fact that she was last really helped that as well, you know, because she was fresh in the judges' minds, and we saw her just really deliver on this performance. So I wasn't surprised that she won, because like I said, all the other performances were just like sort of okay. So I was pissed when she did win, though, because I'm like, damn, this was probably going to go home, but it is what it is.
Yeah, it was super high energy. Definitely not meh, which I kind of felt from some of the other lip sync performances. Yeah. I think her and Alexis really just brought the energy. I don't know if it was a first last kind of thing, but India did not come to mess around. She came to play, and it was so clear, because she just was precise, high energy. You could tell she wanted it. She wanted that win. And that was really cool to see. So I was really, really enjoyed her performance and was happy that she was in the top. Yeah. Well, let's talk about the tops and bottoms. So Blair, Shay, Mariah, and Juju are all declared safe, whereas Cracker, Alexis, and India were all in the top. Derek, Mayhem, and Angina were in the bottom three, at least, but with Mayhem and Derek, of course, in the true bottom two. Brent, did you think that these placements seemed fair? Is there anybody you would swap around?
For the show, I think they seem fair. I feel like the only one that really matters is the winner and the bottom two, and they mostly got that right. I mean, obviously, India Farrah was the winner for me. The bottom two, I think, probably should have included Angina. But then again, like, who am I going to take out? Am I going to take out Derek? Am I going to take out Mayhem? Like, they also deserve their place in the bottom. So I guess I'm fine with what Rue ended up doing here, because I don't have a real reason to take out Mayhem Miller other than I like her, and Derek Barry other than I want redemption for her. So, you know, they did what they did and they got what they got. That's what happened.
Mm-hmm. The only thing, I may have moved Cracker out of the top. Because to me, there wasn't any, like, I probably would have put either Jujubee or Mariah in the top instead of Cracker, but that, I think everything else probably, like, seemed fair to me. Aman.
I tend to agree, even though I didn't really like her performance, but I really like Cracker. I'm just going to just say that. So I would have probably moved her out of the top as well.
Well, backstage, we are going to talk deliberation. So India Farrah is declared our winner, and she gets to pick a lip sync for the girl she wants to send home, and we have the queen's vote. So just in case the lip sync assassin does win, then that, which ends up happening, spoiler, then that queen, the queen that is voted for, who has the most votes, good old fashioned Survivor style, no hidden immunity idols, as far as I can tell, or maybe production interference is your hidden immunity
what
idol.
What would the hidden immunity idol happen. Be? Would it just be like, anyway, a really golden pink lipstick tube?
It's a stoned lipstick tube. Yeah, you can pull it out, prevent someone from sending you home. All right. Well, is there anything that you guys want to talk about in terms of the deliberations? I know we talked a little bit about it at the beginning, Brent, but anything else stand out to you here?
Not a lot. I'm still sort of wondering, like, I don't know if this is going to happen, but what would happen in the event of a tie? Like, let's say the lip sync assassin wins and there's a tie. I guess they would probably go to the lipstick of the queen that didn't get to vote, because if you notice, India Farrah was not included in the quote unquote other queens who got to vote in the Rurocracy. So it was India Farrah got to pick a lipstick, and then all the other queens got to pick a lipstick and put them in the box. If India won, she got to reveal her lipstick and eliminate that queen. If the lip sync assassin won, then all of the other whoever all of the other queens voted for would be revealed as the lipstick to go home. But like I said, if there's a tie, I'm guessing they would probably the only way they could break it would be to go to the last person who has an opinion on the matter, and that would be, in this case, India Farrah. Fortunately for Mayhem Miller, there wasn't a tie, and it was overwhelmingly in favor of eliminating Derek Barry. So basically, assuming that India Farrah also picked Derek Barry, Derek Barry was drawing dead here. No possible way to stay. I feel like that Rue can manipulate the results here a little bit. Again, she can keep queens out of the bottom who are truly in the bottom, like Angina, where she kept her out of the bottom two, even though she was in the bottom three. I guarantee you that's going to come up again sometime. It's probably going to be when Shea Coulee is near the bottom and it's like, oh, but you're safe. You're in the bottom three. You're not in the bottom two. So I'm still like, basically, prove me wrong, contestants, that this isn't just a march to crown Shea Coulee as the winner of RuPaul's Drag Race Season 5. Prove me wrong, and I'll be on board with it. But until then, I'm going to withhold judgment.
Maybe if it's a tie,
go ahead.
The girls that are in the bottom two can't vote. They re-vote. And if it's not a tie, if it's a tie again, then all of them have to lip sync for their lives, and then someone will go home.
Right.
We spin a wheel.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember when All Stars 2 happened, and, you know, this is when All Stars rules were officially suspended the first time. And there was discussion about, oh, are we going to see alliances, or, you know, like, what's the strategy that's going to happen? And that never really materialized. And so it's going to be interesting to see if that happens here, because, Brent, to your point about the march to crown Shea Coulee, which this very much might be, are we going to have our Naomi moment where she sends home Manila? You know, are we going to see that? Are we going to see more strategizing? I don't know, because if I was Blair St. Clair and I walked in and I see this cast, I mean, if all the fans see it, the queens have to see it too. So
I'm hoping, I think that it's such a different world because the queens are worried about what the fans say about them. So if they gang up to make an alliance to take out one of these quote unquote deserving queens, then what are the fans going to say about them? I think they're always worried about that. And that's why you can't any get some real agency from these queens to gather up enough votes to actually do something. Look, they've had more power than they've ever had this season. Let's see if they can do something.
I really hate that, though. I hate that the queens are going to be so obsessed over what the fans are going to think. And yes, they're in a position where a lot of the money that they make depends on the fans. I get it. But I feel like if all of these queens, like,
yes,
if they took the, because you guys are the ones that are on the show. You guys are the talented people that are on this show. And if you wanted to change the culture of All Stars so that it became acceptable to eliminate queens that were killing the competition and then they end up in the bottom and it's like, oh, take the strike. All of you could collectively make that decision and stand behind it 100%. And then that's just how All Stars would be run. But, you know, until they're, you know, not afraid enough to do that, then we're just going to continue to have audience interference at all times. But honestly, Brent, like, I take your point about this being, you know, a march to crown Che. But in the event that Shay just never ends up in the bottom because she's just that good, then either way, if this were the regular competition, she would just never be in the bottom anyway. So, you know, what can you do? If she ends up in the bottom and she doesn't go home, then that's up to that's on the queens. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm just thinking more about the whole fan thing, because obviously if they never get the opportunity to send her home, well, then that like doesn't even matter. But the fact that, you know, losing is the new winning, where even if you lose the show, it kind of doesn't really matter, because Amon, what you said about the fact that so much more can come from what the fans are willing to pay in terms of merch, coming to see shows and all that stuff. Well, let's close things out. Talk about the lip sync, because we get Evie Oddly hopping back in to lip sync against India Farah. Amon, Living La Vida Loca was the song, which I thought was a perfect choice, given that Ricky Martin was there. Did you think that Evie deserved to win?
Yes. I mean, as soon as I saw her face after that, I was like, oh, India, you're fucked. Like, it's just not happening. It's not happening. And Evie pulled no stops. She literally went for it, and then she went for it again, and then she went for it again, and then she went for it again. It's like, damn, like, give her a chance. But no, like, I was worried that maybe the lip sync assassin was just there just to, you know, to give us a little bit more culture, to remind us of all the great queens that we had throughout the years, but it really wouldn't amount to much of anything. But no, Evie proved that, no, you can definitely come in. I wanted her to get the $10,000. I was like, don't make it roll over, give it to Evie.
Oh, yeah.
Like, screw that.
Yeah, I was annoyed. Yeah, I was annoyed with that. I'm like, $10,000 is still $10,000. Like, I mean, come on. Like, I mean, I know that's going to be a point of contention on the show where, like, it rolls over and there's more money next week and how, like, they're going to be talking about that. But I really was, like, so impressed by Evie Oddly, where I was like, I really wanted her to get the money. And she absolutely brought the hammer down on India Farah. Not that India Farah wasn't amazing. She was good. But, like, I think for the talent, India Farah was amazing. I think for the lip sync for your legacy, I feel like she was just good. Like, she didn't have the extra bit that she needed to have that Evie clearly had. But Evie was clearly ready for it. Like, again, how much preparation do these queens get? How much time did India Farah have to change? And how quickly did she know the number for the show? When does the lip sync assassin, when do they learn the number for the show? Like, you know, I feel like there's some unanswered questions here that I would love to know.
I was hoping, if we're going to go all Twistos twisties, I mean, I knew it wasn't going to happen, but if Evie then could come, if she won, she got to come join the cast.
Yeah.
I was like, I need more Evie Oddly in my life. This was amazing. But yeah, I'm now super curious to see who else we're going to see, because Evie, she would not have been the first name that I would have picked if we're going to talk lip sync assassins. I mean, she's obviously very talented, is a lip sync assassin, clearly fits the definition, but she was not, at least in my mind, the first person that I thought of. So I thought that was really cool, and she killed it. Yeah, India really didn't stand a chance here. Well, then Poor Derek gets sent home as Evie is declared the winner. It seemingly didn't matter, although it'll be interesting to see whether or not we'll get to see India.
Oh, you know we're going to get
to
see that.
I think we did in the preview. Yeah. So we'll get the talk at the couch, and we'll get to see maybe a little bit more drama, just wrapping up that storyline for her. So goodbye, Derek Barry. It was a short, fun episode. I really wish we could have seen more. Aman is sad that you're gone.
I'm sad.
I assume. But here we are. Here we are. Now, I did not watch Untucked because apparently there was Untucked.
There was.
Because I didn't. Okay. If either of you have anything you want to say about Untucked, I didn't watch it because I actually didn't realize it existed because I thought there wasn't one like all the other All-Star
well,
seasons.
Fortunately, my TV reported it. So that's the only reason I knew about it. Oh. I mean, it was actually mixed in with the entire episode. So it was like 1 2-hour episode of RuPaul's Drag Race where the first hour and a half was RuPaul. And then the last half hour was Untucked. And it was really fun. I mean, like, it was just nice to see these queens sit in Kiki a little bit. The other thing was that it was clear that Angina would have been the choice for a lot of these queens had she been in the bottom, because I feel like they felt as though Angina did the worst, or that she's at least not very connected with a lot of these queens. So that was interesting to note. I think that, again, I can't remember exactly when they showed what, but in the main episode they showed or maybe it was Untucked. I can't remember. When did they show Mayhem Miller making an alliance with India Farah, so to speak?
That was in the episode.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
As far as I know, that was like such a slam dunk for India Farah to do something like that with Mayhem Miller. You know she's going to eliminate Derek Barry anyway. She might as well make something with Mayhem Miller. Mayhem Miller, no tea, but probably needs someone like India Farah in the competition. Mayhem Miller is not one of the top queens. She might think she is, but I hope that this little brush with death disabuses her of that notion, because she might need a little bit of agency within the game to keep her safe. And so keeping somebody like India Farah in the competition later on would be good for her. So I think everybody had reason to do what they did here.
Yeah.
Aman, do you have anything?
I kind of echo everything that Brent just said. I really like the way that they filmed this Untucked. They really changed how they do scene changes in this. I feel like they're really, you know, upping the Untucked production value for this season, which I really enjoy. I like the fact that we also get a little segment with Evie Oddly where she talks about coming back and everything and preparing for the lip sync and everything. And of course we get Derek leaving and me being sad for Derek. But yeah, I think Untucked is going to be pretty good this season. I really enjoyed watching it this time around. Because sometimes, you know, I could really give or take Untucked, given present seasons. I think season 12 has kind of like spoiled my taste for Untucked because, I mean, as much as season 12 was sort of enjoyable through all of the bullshit that it was dealing with, it really kind of was a season of RuPaul's Best Friends Race. We didn't really get a lot of drama this past season, so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's kind of what I'm hoping for. I'm hoping for some more drama. And I think this season, at least the first episode, delivered. So we'll see if it continues. I don't know if there's some other secret beefs that I'm not aware of that maybe will get revealed throughout the season. But we shall see. Next week, we are going to get the girls are going to form three competing girl groups to compose lyrics, choreography, and perform a new pop crush anthem, I'm in Love.
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward to this.
Sounds like so much fun.
I think it's going to be really enjoyable. And then, of course, Untucked will be there as well. I think that does it for us. Aman, is there anything else you want to say, talk about?
No, I
Brent,
think that's it.
Anything?
I'm good. You can always find me at One Lucky Gay on Twitter. That's one spelled out O-N-E. And tell me what you think.
Aman, what about you?
Where can people find me on Twitter, at Aman Admin, and Instagram, but I don't really Instagram. So, but if you want to follow, feel free.
<Me too>. Right.
Yeah, same. Girl, same. You can find me on Twitter at Liana R-H-A-P, podcasting currently about Survivor Season 2 Australia. We're going to Episode 2 with RHAP B&B. Mike and I are going to be talking about everything that episode and going along with the whole Survivor rewatch that's happening right now. So definitely check that out if you're interested. Become a patron of Rob Has a Podcast. Go to patreon.com and check out Rob Has a Podcast. That allows us to allows you to support what we are able to do here, talking about everything on RuPaul's Drag Race. Leave us star ratings and reviews on iTunes. Also check out the show notes for everything that we talked about at the beginning of the show. Shout out to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes, and we will talk to y'all next week. Bye.